This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're now listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Karnison. This morning, we're going to explore some tips and tricks when it comes to cash flow management. And when I talk about cash flow management, I'm talking about keeping tabs on your expenditure, some money management tips, and also how to, let's say, optimize your lifestyle tax relief instead of overspending on that. So to help me with that, I'm speaking with Fatin Rosli, licensed financial planner with Wealth Vantage Advisory. Fatin, welcome to Ringgit and Cents.
Hi, Roshan. Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Before we get into the money management tips and techniques, Fatin, I'd like to first talk about having a cash flow statement. Could you break that down for us? What is it and what does it entail? Because it sounds like a big word, but really it's just about inflows and outflows.
Yes, you are correct, Roshan. Cash flow is just something that what do you have on a monthly basis, your income, whether it will be from your salary, from your side business, your rental, bonuses, dividends, those kind of things. And also on the outflow, which is on your, firstly, obviously on your expenses, what you pay on monthly basis, like your bills, your taxes, the PCB, so all that one is counted as expenses, and loan repayments. What are you paying for your debt on the mortgage, on the car, credit card, repayments, personal loan, and also not to forget on your savings, your EPF contribution, the one that you pay for your insurance, medical premiums, as well as for your emergency fund and other savings that you have for your family and yourselves.
So the long story short here is that it is a statement following all your cash flows and where it is going, right? So you track all your income here and where it's going, not necessarily only what you're spending. So whether the money is going to EPF, whether the money is going to savings, whether it's going to debt repayment, and having that all on whatever you use, whether it's a paper or spreadsheet or anything of that sort. But having that information is one thing. But why is it important that we have this information, Fatin?
It is really important for you to know your inflow and outflows on monthly basis or on yearly basis. It's because that it is for us to know not to overspend over than what our affordability and over our capacity. Also, you need to know that there will be like two different types of expenditure or expenses. Everyone has their own regular expenses, which we incur on daily basis, weekly, monthly or quarterly basis, and some on yearly basis. But there's also, people tend to forget, there will be like irregular expenses, which is, it is not frequent and it's not repeatedly. Example, the big expenses will be like traveling. If you want to pay for the car down payment, if you tend to buy a new car, because this doesn't really occur on monthly basis, right? Mm-hmm. And then or on yearly basis as well. Or some people tend to forget about that on the house renovation or fixing up the house on the furniture and fittings and all that sorts. And then some people get trapped on into personal loan just to supplement on their spending on these purposes. And some unable to pay the debt on time, as some use credit card. And then they will only just pay on the minimum amount on monthly basis. And as a result, their debts keep piling up. So it is really important for people to know the expenses so that they won't be trapped into debt. And then there will be no detrimental domino effect on their daily lives.
Right. So Fatin, it's basically awareness, right? It's being aware over the inflows and the outflows. And more importantly, I think what you really highlighted there was the irregular expenses and outflows. It's one thing to pay your bills regularly because that's on a monthly basis. But oftentimes, we forget about the irregular things, the once-a-year maintenance fees, that down payment if you are planning for a car next year. So these are all the things that hopefully that cash flow statement brings into the picture because they're not necessarily expenses just yet. Now, you'd mentioned there you can do it monthly or annually. As a licensed financial planner, do you have a preference when it comes to your clients in terms of how you recommend this?
As a licensed financial planner, when we do fact-finding with our clients, So we will ask them on their cash flow. This is because cash flow is the heart of a personal finances matters. So we will ask them to list out on their monthly expenses, on their yearly expenses, quarterly expenses, those sort of things. So we will analyze from it. So for my clients, I will always like to review it with them on their cash flow. And some have some revelation when they see their own cash flow because they never even track their own cash flow, you see. So that is the first time. So they say that, oh, I'm overspent here. I under save for my own or for my kids, those kind of things. So from when they see the first time on the cash flow, so they have like a realization. So from there, they will have a change of mindset. So to me, to have list down all your expenses, your incomes, as well as on your savings, you will have like some kind of realization for yourself. And then you will try to make changes in order to make a better cash flow statement.
Right. And I think this really reminds me of this line I've heard from Peter Drucker, who's a management guru. Only what gets measured gets managed. And I think this is a great example of the situation at hand. So now, Fatin, when it comes, keeping all of that we've talked about in mind, keeping tabs on expenditure and cash flow is clearly quite essential to our financial well-being in the short term and the long term. And a key principle here is really to differentiate between needs and wants. How do you explain this to your clients?
Firstly, you know that it is hard for you to manage your money without knowing how much you're earning and spending. So another thing is that what you spend also matters between the needs and wants. So the needs is something that you can't live without it. That if you don't spend on it, you will suffer either physically or mentally. It's like food, water, spending on your house, right, the maintenance of the house, for car, those kind of things, because that is our necessity. And what about wants? It's about your choice. Whether do you need a desire for a person may not be able to get, but life will continue if the person does not get what they want. So it's like the luxury expenses. It's just like if you can afford just a 50,000 car, but you want to buy a 80,000 car. So it's like already a want, but not your need, right? So it's already more than whatever that you capability, right? And also impulse purchases. Mm. So yeah, so sometimes people tend to get influenced by the lifestyle that they see in social media or by their peers, those kind of things. And then some succumb to their emotions when spending. Because there's a lot of sale now. So it's like buy one, free one. Although you don't need it, but you justify for yourself. You say that I need that. Actually, it's not needed. Sometimes it's just like more of like purchases that you just justify. I want to buy it because it's just cheaper now. Those kind of things.
Yeah. So with that in mind, Fatin, do you think there are any overlaps when it comes to needs and wants? Or are these two very clear lines here?
It depends on preference, actually. So I mean, it's because of like I would say that you can spend on your wants, but have a limit on that. I mean, like if you have a budget for spending on your wants, I mean, you need to reward yourself. So let's say that you set aside about 5% from your monthly income. So you build up that savings. Say that I wanted to purchase a handbag, say like 3,000. So probably like I save about 500 ringgit a month to buy that the handbag in another 6 months down the road, those kind of things. So yeah, so do it like gradually. I mean, like save it gradually. So this is what we call delay gratification, so that you will find it satisfying when you achieve that milestone that you wanted.
Yeah, so I guess this applies to all those wants, right? Whether it's a handbag or tech or any of the things that go beyond the base needs definition that we used earlier in the show. Setting aside that 5% there, Fatin, that's getting into some of the techniques when it comes to money management. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. So keep it here to Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ring It and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. This morning, we're talking about cash flow management and keeping tabs on your expenses. And to help me with this, I'm speaking with Fatin Rosli, licensed financial planner with Wealth Vantage Advisory. Right now, we're going to talk about some of the money management techniques, the tips and tricks here that can help you get better with your cash flow management. And some of the common ones I've heard of, Fatin, include the jar or envelope system. There's also the weekly withdrawal method and also just pure expense tracking. Do you recommend any of these to your clients and why?
Yeah, I do recommend to them, but it will depend on their behavior, on their money management habits. So it's like if the more disciplined one, I can know whether they are disciplined or not based on the cash flow statement that they provided to me. And then the disciplined one, I will talk to them about the money jar, the envelope system, or their expenses tracking. So they will know because they also have their own spreadsheets. So they will lay out the spreadsheets to me. But for the not so disciplined one, so I will, easier way is like for them to save first. When they get their income, save first, pay the loans and spend on the remaining. And also to have the slip on it over the big purchases.
Right. Okay. So let's break that down a little bit, right? So the jar and envelope system is essentially kind of like, I think, the bucket system, right? Where your money comes in and then you split it up into different categories. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. There's three jar system, or also the more comprehensive one, the six jar system. So I talked about, we'll talk about the three jar system first. So when you get your income, the first 20% for you to save, inclusive of insurance, and then 65% is for your necessities, your fixed expenses, and the remaining is for your fun money, for your own satisfaction, which is like traveling, shopping, for donation, and also for your upskilling if you want to. And for the six jar system, it's like breaking down further on the 55% for necessities, 10% for financial freedom for your investment, 10% for education or upskilling, 10% for long-term savings for spending to save money for your future, for future expenses. Example, on kids' education fund, for new car, for your dream holiday trip, etc. And 10% for play, for you to indulge and enjoy your life, while the remaining is for you to give to charity or donate. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I'm guessing if you're just starting out, keeping in tabs on your cash flow, you might want to just start with the three jar system as opposed to the six jar. I mean, start with three and then go to the six, right? When we take a look at the three jar system, it's basically a very simple system, right? You don't have to think too much about it, and less complicated than managing expenses because you're allowed to spend all that money or allocate all that money in those certain jars to those respective categories, right?
Yes, correct. So start small. For me, what we can recommend is start small. Start with whatever that you are comfortable with. So that's why, like, if you can't save like 20% of, if you cannot save on monthly basis of 20%, start by 10% first, and then adjust on your expenses so that you can increase gradually increase on your savings.
Right. So basically, you guys got to start, right? Then you can build momentum over time and then hopefully increase that savings ratio larger and larger. There's something else that you mentioned earlier that I picked up on. It was basically putting your savings aside first, right? You were saying for the clients who are a little bit, who aren't as disciplined. Yeah. So for the clients who aren't as disciplined, what do you recommend to them?
So for me, the not so disciplined one is like when you just receive your income, then right away set aside for savings, and then you pay on all your loans, and then after that, then you can only, whatever left is the remaining that you can spend. So with the remaining, you can also do like the one that you said just now on the weekly withdrawal. So they can just divide by four, whatever the remaining. So that's where they can spend on other expenses.
Right. So essentially, the formula here is income minus savings and investments equals your expenses. And then if you add in the weekly withdrawal there, you take that, your expenses, you divide by four so that you know how much you can spend in a week. Have I got that right?
Yes, correct.
Something else you said earlier, you said sleep on it over big purchases. Is this an advice that you commonly give to your clients when it comes to spending on wants versus needs?
Yes, correct. So sometimes I have like clients who become friends and kind of thing. So that's why we talk about it like very openly. So sometimes they say that I want to buy this thing, but but do you know like how can I get it? Or I mean, do I need to take out my savings? This kind of thing. So I told the person, I mean, like probably you have to save up on monthly basis for that thing, or you can also sleep on it. Just like think about it, whether you really need it or it's just something that you desire to have it, which is your want. So I give the person like about a week or 2 weeks, you still have the desire to purchase it. If you don't, then it's something that you don't have to have it. So yeah.
Yeah, I do something similar as well. So sometimes you go into the shop and then you get tempted by something and then you tell yourself, no, wait 3 days to a week. And if it's still there when you're at home, away from the shop, then it's something that maybe I should consider, right?
So that's something. If you dream about it when you're sleeping, so you need to have it.
So actually on this note, right, Fatin, the government has allocated that lifestyle tax relief for us, which can seem like an excuse to spend money on wants or big ticket items. And in fact, for 2020, they increased it to, I think, 5,000 ringgit when it comes to lifestyle tax relief. And just this week, they announced that they're also going to do that again this year. So how do you guide your clients when it comes to maximizing these tax reliefs while being responsible?
Okay, so the government announced that there is additional 2,500 ringgit on purchase on gadgets on top of the 2,500 lifestyle that we have. For me, I told my client that because the pandemic, people are working and schooling from home, right? And 2020 was a big challenge for us to juggle with this working from home, kids at home, schooling from home, those kind of things. So purchasing the gadget, it is like essential. So if the person can afford, then why not? So, and it is also a good additional tax relief for the citizens, as it has become the necessity for everyone, you know, for the kids to do online schooling, and then for the parents to have like working from home comfortably. So I think if you can maximize, then maximize the 2,500. By purchasing the gadgets, or if you cannot, then I mean, like, you might not maximize it to 5,000. I've done some calculation actually for like higher M40 T20 person with like 10,000 income. So if you purchase the gadgets of 2,500, and then on the vacation 1,000. So you enjoy additional 735 ringgit of tax relief savings,
But that's also for the higher income brackets, right? So that's like around the 10,000 ringgit mark. So that's something that's something to keep in mind when you're looking to maximize tax relief, because spending that money just for the tax relief may not always be the most optimal way to spend your money.
Correct. Yeah. So that's why I said if you can afford it and you need it, then why not? Then you can maximize on it rather than you spending on other things that won't give you any tax relief. Yeah.
All right. So following up from this point, Fatin, what are the common mistakes you've observed when it comes to cash flow management or expense tracking or spending?
Okay. The most common thing that I observe from my clients is this, that you cannot manage your money without knowing how much you are earning and spending. So that's why I said when they do the cash flow exercise with us, so they have that sense of realization and revelation as well. So and people also tend to spend first before save once they receive their salary. This is common. They always like spend first, then nothing left to save. And then they won't even like accumulate their wealth. There's no emergency savings, and not optimizing on savings on the right places. So those are some of the common mistakes that they do.
All right. And, you know, a lot of this sometimes it applies to certain income brackets more than others, right? Because for some income brackets, you are just starting out. Maybe you can't save as much. And I think earlier we talked about how just starting off is important, right? No matter how little it is, and then growing it from there. But there is always going to be that income factor whenever we talk about personal finances, right? So that's why the cash flow statement is so important, to give you that awareness over how much money you have and where that money is going, so that you can hopefully better manage everything overall.
Yeah. And another thing, Roshan, I think it's about how can you substitute on your expenses. Mm. I mean, like things that we've talked about this. I mean, like some people tend to go to coffee shops rather than do their own coffee, brewing their own coffee, those kind of things. And then that is like simple expenses, but it's accumulating on a daily basis. Or sometimes like when you go grocery shopping, you don't have like lists of shopping lists. You don't have shopping lists. So you will tend to buy things that you don't need, right? And then you purchase more than what you need. So at the end, you are wasting on your resources. I mean, in this case, your money. So to me, you need to start on saving. I mean, like if it's only 1 ringgit a day, will accumulate to become like 30 ringgit a month or 365 ringgit a year. So those kind of things, like you need to just take a baby step towards it rather than saying, I will do it later when my income increases. Just force yourself to do bit by bit so that it become a habit, so that you can also increase gradually on your savings.
Well, then I think that's a great way to end this conversation. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Roshan, for having me.
I was speaking with Fatin Rosli, licensed financial planner with Wealth Vantage Advisory. And you've been listening to Ringgit & Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanasin for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.